everybody, and welcome to this week's Highs and Lows in Wrestling here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Today is Sunday, August 1st, 2021. My name is Mimi Burris, and you guys know the deal, so I'm not going to waste any more of your time. Let's just get right into it.
Hardy with a powerful right hand knocking Sammy Guevara through the stage.
I want a divorce. Oh!
I told you, I was gonna ruin yours!
I feed a whole family with this title!
You know, every single week I feel like I say it at this point, but it might be time for a new intro. There is new crap to put in that intro and new really good stuff to put in that intro. We are in a whole different landscape in wrestling nowadays that we are back in front of fans, and things just feel different, guys. So who knows, maybe I will get on that, but probably not anytime soon, considering I am working 7 days a week this week and 7 days a week next week. And if anybody else does that, you know, full time all the time, I give you all my condolences and respect, because it is no easy feat. But there is no place I would rather be than in front of a microphone right now with you guys, getting to step away for a bit and just play in the sandbox for a little bit and just talk about this this scripted world that is professional wrestling. And this week, like every other lately, it seems like, ever since crowds have been back at full capacity, there's a lot to talk about for sure. But honestly, guys, I'm going to be 100% real with you here. I watch like SmackDown almost specifically, but Monday Night Raw, maybe because some of the crap on Monday Night Raw is so bad that it's almost more entertaining in that sense. But I watched some of this, like, WWE product lately, even NXT this week, and I am just, like, I'm so unemotionally invested. I could not care less about any of the stuff. Even now, like, good for them, they're doing functional kind of storytelling, and everybody's like, oh, look, WWE's good again. Like, nah, these things are just functional sometimes. Half the time, maybe. That's being generous. Doesn't mean it's any good, man. And a lot of the stuff still doesn't make sense or is stupid and whatever. So we're going to get into all that. But I don't know, guys. As weeks go by, like I think I made a podcast on this a while ago, and you can go still listen to it on Patreon, or I'm sure, I don't know if it's on the Apple feed or not. So go subscribe to Patreon if you specifically want to listen to this show and you haven't already. And I talked about, is WWE going to get quote unquote good again when fans return? And I said, nope. And I was not wrong. I'm blown away by the amount of emotional investment in a lot of stuff from the audience. I think people are just happy to see live pro wrestling again. I have a feeling it's not going to last. You know, it's a finite solution to what is seemingly an infinite problem in Vince McMahon creative and all of the terrible things that go behind the scenes in WWE. Though, also in other news too, before we get into all of the specific stuff in wrestling this week, I do want to talk about Bray Wyatt and the release of Bray Wyatt. I've been a little bit out of the know, off the tweeter, off of all that stuff. By the way, you can follow me on the tweeter at Mimi Burris if you want to, and shoot me a DM or tweet me, whatever. Or I don't know how the whole thing works, but I talk about wrestling on there. So go check that out if you don't follow me already. What was I saying? Oh, I was talking about, oh, I've been out of touch on the tweeter and out of the wrestling news for a couple days of just, really ever since Wednesday, I guess, since after AEW. I'm just busy. And so I just saw that Bray Wyatt was released, and I want to tell you guys, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. I saw it coming from a mile away, because Johnny Laurinaitis, Vince McMahon, whoever, took the idea that Bray Wyatt had, put WWE all over it, and then shoved it on somebody who is a woman, and to them, more pleasing to watch, probably. And that's about as PG as I can keep it, so let me leave it at that. Yeah, and probably makes them a lot more money from creepy people on Cameo. So, with all that being said, guys, you know, I wish Bray Wyatt, obviously, the best in his endeavors. Future endeavors. I hate to sound like WWE. I hope he does great things. I don't know where he's going to end up next. I don't know. Bray Wyatt is a wild card for sure. But, you know, if I'm wrong and this is all a work or whatever, then shoot me down. You know what I mean? I doubt it. I think they just don't want the guy anymore. They juiced everything they possibly could out of him and his brain and his ideas and ruined all of them, probably. And again, now put their skewed version of them on Alexa Bliss. So why would they need Bray Wyatt anymore? That was my simple logic. So that happened, and I just want to say, you know, I wish Bray Wyatt the best, and I don't know where he ends up. I don't know if he ends up on indie scenes. I don't know if he keeps the Bray Wyatt character, the Fiend, the whatever he does, the cult leader. I don't know what he's going to end up doing, but whatever he does, I wish him the best, and he seemingly has a great mind for a lot of this stuff. I don't know. I guess wherever we see him go next, if he's left unchecked, we can really see what goes on in the mind of Bray Wyatt and this quote-unquote genius mind people are talking about. We can finally get, you know, the full version of it. So, who knows? You know, there were things like Broken Matt Hardy and other gimmicks that got over really a lot in other promotions. So, who knows where Bray Wyatt could end up and how over and how well he could do somewhere else. I just wish him the best, as we do anybody who loses their job in pro wrestling or in the real world. Because that sucks. So, all right, well, guys, with all that being said, though, let's get into this week in wrestling and just talk about the highs and the lows as we do on this show, hence the title of the podcast. And let's start with our low of the week. A couple honorable mentions we'll talk about first. Guys, NXT sucked this week, and I don't know if it's just because of this whole Karrion Kross thing, but, like, this wonderful, like, kind of low-key, but not really, like, slightly subtle storyline they had been building between Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez and the turn that was going to happen. Oh, they did it so poorly, and it was so disappointing because it was one of these few things that I was actually kind of enjoying or looking forward to on NXT specifically. Man, it sucked. It really sucked. He had Raquel Gonzalez, like, bragging like a heel before she gets turned on, and then we're supposed to perceive her as a babyface. Why? Because she got turned on and wasn't smart enough to realize that her quote-unquote best friend was going to turn on her when everybody else saw it. She just looks like a stupid heel now. She and Baron Corbin can go right off into the sunset, apparently, because Baron Corbin's wife left him now because he can't perform due to, a Nerf tank bullet thing, cannon rocket thing, majig. You guys saw it. You all saw it last week. It was just disappointing, guys. It was just disappointing, and I hoped for better, and I hope the match is really good because Raquel Gonzalez deserves a good match at this point and really needs it. I mean, this title run has been, you know, very akin to Britt Baker's, although Britt Baker has really only had one title defense so far, but both of them just underwhelming. Super underwhelming. We had high expectations, I think, or at least I can speak for myself. I had high expectations for both, and neither have really delivered. So, with all that being said, otherwise, yeah, the whole Samoa Joe thing being reinstated, it's just like, I don't know. It's like so super intense. And I like the nice, like, my favorite part of NXT, guys, is Cameron Grimes and those stupid little skits, because it adds a little bit of levity to this, like, super intense underground now, and we have the cages up because of COVID, but now we're probably just going to keep it like this. We're the new Raw Underground, like, NXT show. It's too dramatic for its own good, I guess. And so, whatever. And the Robert Stone brand thing, like, I couldn't have cared less about any of that stuff. Frankie Monet has just been a disappointment since her debut. And I'll say that either it's about the booking or whatever it is. Why do I give a crap about Mandy Rose on NXT? I actually am happy to see her on NXT because maybe she'll learn how to wrestle better. Who knows? Where's Dana Brooke, guys? Probably right alongside with Bray Wyatt, because although she was more talented than Mandy Rose, John Laurinaitis probably likes looking at Mandy Rose more. So, I don't know, guys. NXT is just ugh lately to me. And, you know, we move over to Raw, and Raw's been better than it was a couple months ago and weeks ago. And, you know, it's not... I can watch the whole show without, you know, questioning my entire sanity now. I don't know how to put it, but we're definitely going to talk about Raw in terms of the official low of the week. And the last thing I'll say, guys, is, you know, AEW wasn't perfect either. It definitely had its faults this week as well. And you can listen to all of my thoughts on AEW. I try not to go too into it on this podcast, considering we do an AEW Dynamite review show here, or at least I do on this same feed. And if you watch AEW or you don't watch AEW and you want to watch AEW, you probably should watch AEW. And yes, Tony Khan did pay me to say that, guys. If you do want to watch AEW, you can check out that review show on this feed. But yeah, AEW absolutely had its faults. You know, it was way too jam-packed with a bunch of stuff, and a lot of stuff that didn't need to be on that show was on that show when other things should have been allotted more time. And I think Tony Khan is just like me and has a lot of ADHD and doesn't know what to do with it. So last but not least, SmackDown. Guys, I don't know what people are talking about this, like, unbelievable show that SmackDown, like, John Cena opening promo was John Cena. John Cena's gonna John Cena. I said this before. And there is nobody who is better at conducting the crowd and interacting with the crowd and, you know, no one better to send out to be your first promo, I guess, than John Cena. However, the content of his promo is crap. It is absolute crap. If you really listen to what he's saying, it's so stupid. So that was stupid, but I do like watching him, you know, do his thing, and it's good to have John Cena back. It's good to have somebody who draws out emotion from the audience. And then in the whole terms of the Finn Balor storyline thing with Roman Reigns, like, I don't know, convoluted. It did make Finn Balor seem less important than he was. This is the guy who was apparently your NXT champion for how long, but I guess we saw how Vince McMahon feels about the NXT championship. Just refer over to my good friend Karrion Kross on Monday nights, or Keith Lee on Monday nights too. That's another great example. So, I don't know, it's all convoluted and messy and confusing, and there was probably a way better way to do this, and I've been all right with sad Corbin lately. Depressed Baron Corbin has been, like, not the worst thing in the world, and whatever Baron Corbin does, he puts his all into it, so I'll give him that. The women's division is something else, all right, man. Without Bayley, I don't know what we're doing here at this point. But it was good to see Sasha Banks back, and I'm so glad she turned on Bianca Bianca Build-A-Bear is her new name, I guess. Bianca Belair at the end of the show. I saw it coming. I'm sure a lot of you guys did too, but perfect. Apparently that very shocked man in the crowd did not see it coming. I feel like people are just trying to recreate the guy. You all know I'm talking about the meme at that WrestleMania when Lesnar broke the streak. That guy, I forget, you know, I don't know his name. I don't know him personally. Maybe one of you guys do, but the meme, we all know the meme with the bug eyes and the white t-shirt, that guy. I feel like people are just trying to be that because it couldn't have been that shocking unless you do have a goldfish brain. And if you do, then Vince McMahon is catering perfectly towards you. Because, yeah, we all saw this coming. That, you know, we all saw, you really think they're going to put Zelina Vega versus Bianca Belair at SummerSlam if they're trying to make this big time? As much as I love Zelina Vega, guys, and you've heard me sing her praises on this show so many times, I think Zelina Vega is a main event women's wrestler. I think Zelina Vega is probably the best promo that they've ever had in the women's division. I think Zelina Vega is absolutely incredible. But they don't seem to have that same opinion, and that's exactly why that wouldn't have been your main event, or that wouldn't have been your women's match. If they did Carmella versus Bianca Belair, why can't I say her name today? If they did, I'm just going to say Bianca. If they did Carmella versus Bianca again, guys, I would have been more surprised if they did Zelina Vega versus Bianca Belair. And then, yeah, Sasha Banks comes out and you kind of knew it was coming at the end of the show. So I'm happy about that. Predictable is not always bad, but just, I don't know, the show was just dry for me. Maybe I'm just depressed or unemotionally invested, but it's really what it felt like. So, all in all, guys, this week, for the most part, in WWE was just dry and boring, and I don't know how the crowd is as invested as they sound. I don't know what WWE is doing with the crowd. Maybe they're not doing anything. Maybe I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, which is something I probably shouldn't do with WWE at this point, but who knows? You can definitely see that they die down by the end of the match, or at by the end of the match. By the end of the night, the crowd definitely seems to get tired. So who knows where we're going from here? I just don't care enough to, like, try to critique or analyze anymore. It's not analytical. It's not, that's not the word I'm looking for. It's, like, unable to be analyzed. It's so ugh at this point. And if you guys think differently, that's totally fine too. I hate, you know, just to come on here and be negative. And you know what, Logan Meyer? You don't know my mental state. I could be depressed or something. So you know what, Logan Meyer 23? Fuck off. I don't need you here. I don't need you listening to my show. Yeah, you know what? Maybe I'm negative because my life is difficult. I'm not. I'm very happy and grateful, guys. I'm just don't need to spend my time watching 3 hours of crap on Monday, 2 hours of boring crap on Friday, and another 2 hours of on Tuesday, whatever day NXT's on now. I like to enjoy what I watch on television. I don't know about you guys. So if you're enjoying it, though, power to you. Awesome. I'm happy for you, genuinely. And I am enjoying the crowds. It's really the reason I think I'm still sane and able to watch WWE at this point. I'm really just enjoying the crowds. So nonetheless, guys, let's go to your official low of the week where I can probably get even more negative. Because again, fuck you, Logan Meyer 23. I'm going to be as negative as I want to be because that's what this show is about. It's the high and the low. You can't be positive about a low for the week. It makes no fucking sense, Logan. God. Bunch of, you know what, how people call people Karens from now on? I'm just going to start calling people Logans. Anyways, moving on, guys, to your official low of the week. I'm sure as a lot of you are watching it, you probably figured that this is what I'd be talking about here on this wonderful Sunday evening. And that was this whole Charlotte Flair, Nikki A.S.H. debacle. I don't even know. I like don't even want to give it the credit and call it a segment and the match. So let me chronicle what happened this Monday night. For those of you who didn't want to waste 3 hours of your life, Nikki A.S.H. cashed in the Money in the Bank briefcase to beat Charlotte Flair with a terrible-looking crossbody last week. Well, I guess technically 2 weeks ago because Sunday is the beginning of the week, but you guys know what I'm saying. Anyways, Nikki A.S.H. cashed in, won the Women's Championship, Raw Women's Championship. And then this week came out, she got to open the show, got a fairly big pop, I'll give her that, got a fairly big pop, so good for her, you know what I mean? I don't know how, but it's happening. So, came out and cut the same promo that she's been cutting for the past couple months about, if you just believe in yourself, you can do anything, woohoo, you know, that whole thing. Anyways, then we got, I don't know if it was Rhea Ripley or Charlotte Flair who came out next. I can't even go back and like look at any notes on this, I'm so bored of it at this point, guys. Rhea Ripley comes out. I think the only reason this is my low for the week, actually, quick sidebar, is because I actually still have some emotional investment in your Charlotte Flairs, because I love Charlotte Flair, and I think she's so unbelievably talented, and Rhea Ripley as well, 100%. I don't know where it's been lately, but yeah, I would like the best for them, and I would like them to be able to produce the best that they can do, and then we get this crap. So you have your new, brand new Raw Women's Champion who, again, if I hear one more argument, but guys, it was her idea. This is great for her. That's great. I'm happy it's great for her, but it's not great for me, the viewer, who's bored out of her f***ing mind watching this crap. Just throwing that out there. Terrible argument, some of you. And if you're 12 and on Twitter and arguing with any of these people, go do your reading homework or summer reading or whatever you guys do these days. I don't know. Break out your Kindle or your iPad and whatever you do. Do something productive. Stop. Get off Twitter. You're too young. Anyways. Yes, Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair, Nikki A.S.H., they all argue about who gets the title shot, and it's going to be a triple threat, and they declare the triple threat at SummerSlam, and then they declare a match later this night, or later that night, between Charlotte Flair and Nikki A.S.H. They're unclear as to whether or not it's for the title or not, but we find out later on it's not for the title. And then, FYI guys, I just want to throw out, they've already declared the triple threat match at SummerSlam. They did that. There was a graphic and everything. I'm pretty positive about that. And yet, there's a title contenders match this week coming up. Tomorrow night. Riddle me this. And I'm not talking about Matt. Anyways, again, logic is irrelevant in this company. And so is happiness, apparently. So Nikki A.S.H. comes out and says, Charlotte Flair says, I'll beat you wherever. And they have a match later on that night. The match? Eh. Okay. Nikki A.S.H. can really wrestle, guys. I don't know where she's been, but she can really wrestle, and I know that because I've seen Nikki Cross wrestle in NXT, and she was great. I don't know. She still looks a little bit green, which is weird because she's been doing this for years now, but maybe she just didn't get enough reps. I don't know. Anyways, they have their match. They have their whole thing. Charlotte Flair wins the match. Clean. Definitive. Wins the match. Beats Nikki Cross, the new Raw Women's Champion. And Nikki Cross gets on the microphone again and says, well, I don't care if I lost. I challenge you again next week. And the entire crowd goes, oh my God, I'm never going to buy another ticket to a fucking WWE show. And we're going to all have to watch this same match again next week. And this was your main event. And she says, if you just believe in yourself, I know I failed, but if you believe in yourself, you can fail and then you can win and then maybe fail. And it's okay if you fail. You just get right back up and fail again. It was the worst, this crap promo over and over and over again. She does not say anything different. It's the same crap. Oh, I know I swore so much already in this show, so I'm trying to stop swearing. But it's the same crap over and over and over and over again. And it's so patronizing, and maybe I'm too old to be watching this show. I don't know. But then they say the word bitch, and then you're like, oh, okay, this is a grown-up show. And then they pull this crap again and again and again. I don't know, man. When you try to do too many things, or when you try to serve too many masters, you end up serving no one. And I don't know if that's the case here. I don't know if this company is just awful. I don't know if Nikki Ash, I know this company is awful, but I don't know if Nikki Ash forgot her lines. I don't know what happened. But because I'm not just all negative all the time, guys, there was one part of this I really did like. And guess who that was? And it was your Charlotte Flair, who took Nikki Ash, brought her in front of a little kid sign that was cheering for Nikki Ash, you know, whatever, almost a superhero sign, and, like, shoved her face in it and beat the crap out of her right in front of this little girl. Yes, guys, that's real heel stuff. Be an absolute a-hole. Be the worst human ever. Channel your inner MJF. Rip up people's signs. Like, that's the stuff we need. You want to hate these people. Why do we hate Roman Reigns so much? Because he's so good at just being awful. Just being annoying. Though I did like his line about Mr. Missionary this week. That was funny. So I was all about that. So there was one positive coming out of this. Again, Monday Night Raw. We will be watching this match once again. I will probably have it on times 2 speed this time because I don't even care at this point. You have my favorite women's wrestler of all time. You know, Britt Baker is now probably surpassing that at this point. But you have one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, nonetheless, competing in your main event of Raw, and I want to watch it on times 2. So that shows you where we're at here, guys, and that is your low for the week. But let's talk about some good stuff instead, because there was plenty of it, at least on Wednesday night. No, but there was also some other good stuff going on in the week. Like I said, Roman Reigns just doing his Roman Reigns thing. I thought that was nice. The whole storyline is weird. I'm lost. And why is Baron Corbin there? And I thought maybe Roman Reigns, like, paid off Baron Corbin to, like, beat up Finn Balor. That would have made more sense. And then they could have had a match at SummerSlam. And then John Cena and Roman Reigns could have wrestled. That wouldn't be perfect, but it would have made more sense than whatever this was. You know what, guys? You know what I'm going to go do? I'm going to find my nearest, like, divorce attorney office. I'm going to go in and see a couple who's, like, signing their, like, you know, support, child support, alimony, all that stuff you have to do. I'm not divorced yet, guys. I haven't even been married. So I don't know any much about it. But I'm just going to walk in there. I'm going to take a pen and I'm going to sign my name on whoever's getting the money. Because apparently that's how contracts work nowadays. So good news there. Anyways, I said I was going to be positive and here I am. Roman Reigns always got something positive to say about him. I liked the match between Rey Mysterio and, it was one of the Usos, and I forget already, so I didn't like it that much, apparently. You know, the finish was what it was, but the match itself I thought was worked really well, so that was exciting. Monday Night Raw, there was not, you know, there was some stuff on there that wasn't, you know, Monday Night Raw worthy. It was actually pretty good. And I do want to be able to give it credit where it's due, I do want to give credit where it's due for the stuff that is good too. Because again, guys, believe it or not, I don't love coming on here and trashing stuff. Like, I like to enjoy what I watch on TV. I wish WWE was something I enjoyed watching like it used to be. I really do. It's just not, at least for me. And apparently for a lot of people on Twitter. So yeah, we talked about, we talked about the Nikki Ash opening the show thing. Damian Priest versus Sheamus I thought was a really well-worked match. I think they're booking Sheamus really weirdly, considering he's a really hard dude and puts on killer matches, and they're making him look like the clown who's scared to wrestle when that's his job. I don't know, but whatever. I thought that match was really fun and entertaining to watch. AJ Styles and Omos versus the Viking Raiders was better than their match at Money in the Bank. Drew McIntyre had to come up with his own chance so the crowd would be with it. I'm not even going to touch that this week, guys. I'm not even going to touch that, as well as I'm not even going to touch Eva Marie, Doudrop, Natalia, and Tamina, because my life is sad enough as it is. I said I was going to be positive, and I'm looking down the Monday Night Raw stuff so I can remember what I wanted to talk about. Now I'm seeing all this stuff I didn't mention on the low part, and so I'm not going to go down that road, because I said, from here on out from the show, we're talking about good stuff. So Keith Lee and Karrion Kross, you get a pass this week. WWE, you get a pass on that. I just want to say, though, that the original booking of that, by the way, if you guys didn't see or hear, was to have Jeff Hardy come back and beat Karrion Kross again, 2 weeks in a row. And a lot of you are like, oh, this will lead to a great story, though, because then Karrion Kross will beat Jeff Hardy on pay-per-view, and that's great. It'll be 2-for-1. in a company where wins and losses don't matter. It's just the final word, apparently. So yeah, cool. Jeff Hardy will lose to Karrion Kross, but then he beat him twice already. So whatever. That's your NXT World Champion. I said I wasn't going to touch it, and I touched it anyways. Mansoor and Mustafa Ali. I like it, guys. It's your new RK-Bro. Not really, but it's cute. And Mansoor has a likable quality about him. And I really think Mustafa Ali is really talented. Not just in the ring, but I think they don't give him enough credit on the mic. I mean, he was the only reason everybody didn't completely trash on all of Retribution all the time. You know? He really did look like a savior for that group until they did what they did. But whatever. It was cool to watch Bobby Lashley beat down these two random jobbers. That was a great... Oh, it was Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. Never mind. Riddle versus John Morrison was a crazy match because just like Sheamus, Riddle puts on some awesome stuff. And having that be your main event was really different and exciting. So I really liked that match. I was really all about that, obviously. Because who can complain when John Morrison is still in this incredible form and having Riddle in the ring too? He's like I said, he's like your Sheamus, but more athletic and can do, you know, to me, cooler move sets and all that stuff. And he's, to me, he's just a better wrestler, period. But he's just got the same hard hitting quality as Sheamus. So I love that match. I really did. And I really enjoyed watching it. And I enjoyed a good amount of my time on Monday Night Raw. Maybe like a solid sixth of the show to a fifth of the show I enjoyed watching. So I'll take that. I will take that as progress, guys, and positivity here. Power of positivity. Speaking of power of positivity, Big E on SmackDown 2, I forgot to mention. Love seeing Big E get the pops he deserves, get the credit he deserves. He's just so, it's little dancing to Shinsuke's music. I love that. And also, Pat McAfee, guys. Pat McAfee is something else. It was a little bit much this week for my taste, but I do, it adds some color because Michael Cole, guys, I could take an entire show long rant about Michael Cole. I was so happy to see Sasha Banks back for like a millisecond before I heard, "It's boss time!" And I wanted to shoot myself in the head. I'm so sick of stupid "it's boss time," and at least I don't have to hear the f***ing big dog anymore, and there I go again. Let's talk about your high for the week, because I'm sure you guys know where I'm all going with this. That made no sense. I'm sure you all know where I'm going with this. And yeah, guys, your high for the week is going over to AEW, because this story is so unbelievable. And if you want to hear me talk more about the ins and outs and how I felt really about this whole match, you can go see the AEW review show or watch it. You can't really see it unless you just want to stare at your screen the whole time. But whatever floats your boat, guys. Whatever floats your boat. Anyways, can you tell I'm really tired? I'm really tired. But we're getting through this. We're talking about it. The opening match of the night, the 10-man elimination tag team match between the Elite versus the Dark Order and Hangman Page. And from the presentation of the entrances, coming out all together in purple and doing the Dark Order thing and having that beautiful image of it, and then having the Elite come out the most ridiculous outfits, theme music, Tony Khan throwing out that money to get the rights fees on this great music, obviously. We have John Moxley coming out to Wild Thing every week, and you know that wasn't cheap. So, yeah, I really, just from the presentation to the storytelling in the match, I do feel like it was a little bit rushed, but, you know, I said it could have been a 5-star match, it could have been a 7-star match, it was more of a 4-star match, but I will take that, absolutely. The stupid theatrics with the basketball, like, pile driver on the outside, and then Nick Jackson missed it, and then he just went and dunked it again, said, screw it. So funny and so good. And again, some levity, and like, I don't know why I said it like that, some levity in, like, a very, you know, emotional feud that's got undertones of mental illness and learning how to do stuff with people having your back, learning how to ask for help, and learning to accept love, and learning to let other people love you until you can love yourself. All that good stuff, guys. And they're still able to add some levity to it. And, like, the Elite just as a whole are absolute a-holes. And it's so good. You got a clear heel babyface dynamic. The cowboy SHIT chants were through the roof. And the story of Hangman Page versus both the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega at the end of the match, I felt like they got there fairly organically. We had the great long-term storytelling with the leg on the outside holding Hangman Page before he could hit the buckshot lariat. We did get Hangman pinning at least Matt Jackson, so it's not like, again, like, you knew it wasn't going to happen. You knew Hangman Page was not about to pin 3 champions on AEW. That's just not how AEW functions. But you still wanted him to do it, man, didn't you? And when he got one, you were like, oh, maybe there's a chance. And of course, after the one-winged angel, there was not a chance. And I don't know how they're going to get to this match at All Out, but they better get to this match at All Out because I am hyped for this feud. I love the story that's being told. I talk about it almost every week here on the AEW Review and here on Highs and Lows. Guys, I'm so invested in Hangman Page versus Kenny Omega, and it's so nice to really care about what's on my television. And I had a literal heartbreak when I saw, or when he got pinned after the one-winged angel. I felt that feeling in my gut, and you know the last time I felt that about any other wrestling promotion? Because neither do I, guys, neither do I. And so it's so good to be so emotionally invested in a storyline that's, again, really does a great job of balancing, and I don't think enough people talk about this, balancing the heaviness of a lot of, like I said, the undertones in this feud, but also adding like a nice amount of just humor and levity and dorkiness and silliness to it as well. And then, you know, great moments like, yeah, Hangman Page lost, but this is the first time he was like truly united with the Dark Order in that sense. And so it was like a good, beautiful moment too. I don't think the placement of it was right on the show. I think it should have main evented, but you had Chris Jericho versus Nick Gage in a no rules match. You know, you got Mr. MDK himself. You have Mr. MDK himself. You've got to have that main event. So I just want to put these two things on separate shows. However, I know AEW has a plan, and I am willing to sit, strap in, and stay along for the ride. So with all that being said, guys, those are your highs. Those are your lows of the week. Let's get into your Irish Aiden question weekend thing that we do here that I still don't have a name or a jingle for. And then we'll talk about your random match recommendation of the week. And then we'll wrap this whole shindig up. So, and as I'm looking over my email now, I realize that I only answered one of your questions from last week, Aiden. So this works out well because I don't know. Whatever. You guys don't need to know all the ins and outs. Let's just get to the question, which is, who do you think is the most fashionable stars in wrestling? And you said you think Finn Balor and Andrade stand out. Andrade's a great shout. And yeah, Finn Balor is just a handsome man. So there's that. But you said, Finn, we're both fans of Superman. I think he's very cool. Sporting Superman, colored boots, trunks, body paint, and is always in black outside of the ring. You can't beat black. Yeah, no, absolutely, for sure. Well, unless it's like white gear, Randy Orton's white gear at WrestleMania. That was amazing. Screw that whole, you know, under 6 minute match. That gear that Randy Orton wore was unbelievable. And then you said Andrade in the ring. He's all about flashy two-piece outfits off screen. Instagram, he seems to love to rock matching outfits with Charlotte Flair. And then for the ladies, you said two words, Sonya Deville. Her suits are awesome. She is cutting edge. And I couldn't agree more on the ladies' side. Absolutely, Sonya Deville. I also think, and this is probably going to like not be so great considering I'm just feeding into her gimmick here, but guys, Carmella looks great. Carmella looks unbelievable. Do I, you know, necessarily care for gear, like super revealing gear like that? Nah, not really. But if we're talking about fashion sense in general, I'd give it to Carmella. Ring gear, too, obviously. You mentioned Charlotte Flair. Guys, Charlotte Flair's ring gear has been on point lately. Charlotte Flair has been looking like she is on a new level. I wish her storylines and her wrestling would just match up to that because Charlotte Flair's been looking amazing in the ring. I don't know a lot about the way they are outside the ring, honestly. But for the men, I'd say I like your shouts of Finn Balor and Andrade, but, you know, I gotta go with the piece, the absolute piece that is absolute Ricky Starks, because that man is just, I don't know if it's the way he wears it, what he wears, or just the confidence. He's just even off his gear, just radiates superstar. So I'm going Ricky Starks. Shout out to absolute Ricky Starks here on the WWE podcast. So thank you as always, Aiden. Hope you all had a great week as well. And I hope you're having a great week over there in Ireland. I hope you're having a great week wherever you are. Cambodia, England, Japan. I don't know where you are, but I hope you're having a great... You could just also be, you know, in the United States. It doesn't have to be somewhere out of the country. All right. Anyways, before I continue to ramble on a bunch of random geographical places that for some reason come to my mind, let's give your random match recommendation of the week, which is none other than... How about All Out 2019? And let's give a shout over to Chris Jericho versus Hangman Page for the AEW World Championship. Spoiler alert, Hangman did not get it done, but that is the wonderful story about this whole All Out thing that obviously we're coming to now, 2021, and why this beautiful, why this match has to happen at All Out, guys. It just has to happen in Chicago at All Out. And speaking of Chicago, I don't know if you guys just maybe blatantly got the clear references to Mr. Punk this week on AEW, but I certainly caught him, and that's great because, as you guys can all tell, I'm very thick, so it got through my skull. I mean, I don't know about, you know, the best in the world as you sit there lying in the most pain that you've ever been, the CM Punk chants, just the word Chicago. If you're a wrestling fan, you hear the word Chicago, you think of Punk. So we got some good stuff coming here, and it's not all gloom and doom, guys. There is a lot to be excited about in the world of professional wrestling. So, as always, I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your week. I hope you all have a wonderful lifetime. I hope you all have a great day. I hope you all have a nice meal today. I hope you all have a nice meal today. And can you tell I'm hungry? I hope you all have a nice meal today. And guys, with that, I'll talk to you next time.